What's up, friends, both real and imaginary? Welcome to a brand new episode. I'm getting better at it. Welcome to a brand new episode of The Horror Bin. I'm your host, Julian Fernandez. With me, as always, not as always, but as always with any new horror film that comes out, is good friend, fellow dirtbag, it's Kelly McInerney.
Hello. Welcome back. I was welcoming myself back.
Welcome back to Kelly and to you guys. Yeah. But Kelly's here, so you guys know we are talking about a brand new horror film. We're specifically talking about the new Blumhouse movie, Imaginary, which just came out this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Saw it last night.
Fresh on the mind. Fresh in the brain. But for everybody else, let's just take a quick look at the trailer. Here we go.
How does it feel being back?
You haven't seen the whole trailer?
Good. I had such good memories here. Maybe my happy place can be our happy place.
I left you all alone down here. It was just my imagination. I'm playing a new game with Chauncey.
The scavenger hunt list, that's fun.
Chauncey says you're not allowed to play with us.
Oh.
Because you left him. I need something.
Is that in the movie?
Something happy.
I don't think she says she ever says the you left him part.
Yeah, I don't think.
Chauncey will take me on a trip to the place he's from.
Nobody flips over the paper.
And this part with her looking something and seeing the nail, I don't think that part happens.
Alice?
Yeah.
Oh.
You've been spending time with a new friend? He asked you to do something that hurt you.
That was part of the game.
Does that seem like a game a good friend would want to play?
No.
Maybe we shouldn't play together anymore, Chauncey. Maybe we shouldn't be friends.
Alice.
Yeah, when the teddy bear is moving, it's...
She's lost.
I think it's creepier than when they actually show the monster. Show him as a monster.
Every culture has entities that tether to the young. We call them imaginary friends.
She looks familiar.
You were always playing with your imaginary friend. When the connection was severed, the entity becomes enraged.
He says he's right behind you.
I would have liked to see what that guy's face really looked like.
Can I hang out with your imaginary friend?
He's not imaginary. He's not your friend.
This is such a bummer. See, like, get the hell out of here. I wish that happened.
It did happen.
The monster didn't go like that.
Yeah, he did.
Did it?
It popped out for a second.
Oh.
That is probably the best scare, one of the best scares in the movie.
He was going to eat him, though.
No, same. For anybody that is unaware, Blumhouse came out 2024, just recently. The synopsis for the movie, when Jessica moves back into her childhood home with her family, her youngest stepdaughter, Alice, finds a stuffed bear named Chauncey. As Alice's behavior becomes more and more concerning, Jessica intervenes only to realize that Chauncey is much more than the stuffed toy bear she believed him to be.
Ooh. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. 2024, we were talking about this last night. No real names in this movie.
No.
We got DeWanda Wise as Jessica, Tegan Burns as Taylor, the older stepdaughter. We got Tom Payne as the dad.
Who's that old lady? Anybody?
Yeah, Betty Buckley as Gloria. Let's see. Betty Buckley. What have you been in?
Oh, 8 is enough. So maybe she's like an old...
She's also... Oh, she was the doctor in Split.
Never seen it.
Oh, well, she's not Kevin McElroy.
James McAvoy.
James McAvoy's a therapist in it.
Oh, okay.
And she's also in The Happening, so she's definitely a friend of... She's Miss Collins in Carrie.
I don't remember who that is.
Me neither. I'm sure it's probably a teacher that dies.
Yeah.
But clearly a friend. She's a friend of M. Night. That's for sure. But yeah, not a lot of names in this one.
Well, I think that we were talking about that last night, and I think that's what's cool about horror right now is like it's no matter how much money it makes at the box office, it's still going to make money.
Yes.
So that's why they're like, yeah, we don't need anybody in it. And now they're catching on to not just have, like I like the diverse casting in it. Like, I like the main character as a black woman because, like, it was very much, like, just basic, you know, like, only one black person, like, the token black guy or whatever back in the day.
Yeah.
Now they're getting out, like... No, we could put as many people in it, but we don't have to put any stars.
No.
That's the thing.
But it was pretty good. There's some acting choices I didn't really care for. I thought Jessica and the husband, the dad, I feel like they're overly, like, overly doing it with the, like, look at us. Aren't we a cute couple?
His accent.
We're just trying to make it in this world with our stepdaughters.
Yeah. I'm going to hug you from behind because this looks comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently a musician, and they can afford an apartment and a house, and, well, maybe not a house.
We don't know. It could be Ohio. You don't know where this location
True.
Is.
True. They never really are specific about it.
Yeah.
But did you ever have an imaginary friend as a kid?
No.
No?
I wish I did. Like, I remember that was, like, a thing, you know, with Drop Dead Fred and all those movies.
Yeah.
And Figment from Disney. I was like, man, I wouldn't know. But no, I... I wrote a lot of stories, but, and doodled a lot.
Made up characters, just weren't friends with them.
Right.
You kept working real life separate.
Like, I did a lot of puppet stuff, so I did that, but no, yeah. I was well aware, like, that nobody, I can't see anything fun.
I got it. I had an active imagination. I don't think I had, like, an actual imaginary friend.
We could be blacking it out, though, like Jessica did in the movie.
That is true. I do like how... they slowly unravel, like, what happened to her as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of that reveal was really good. And again, as always, spoiler alert, but the reveal that nobody else can see the bear except for Jessica and Alice really caught me off guard.
That was really cool.
I was expecting, because we were talking about, like, when they have the therapy session and Alice is having a conversation with Chauncey, and then the way it's framed that she's... her head is
your back. Yeah.
Yeah. Her head is covering where we assume the bear is. And immediately as soon as you pull up the video camera, I'm like, oh shit, we're going to see like some faceless man sitting there or like a monster or something. So I knew something was going to happen, but then like the reveal of like, what bear? what are you talking about? And she starts showing them the video. I'm like, oh my God. Ah!
Yeah. That's pretty cool. And also ventriloquism or whatever. Like,
is she taking up any hobbies recently? Yeah.
Because her voice wasn't moving when she heard the voice, and that was on film. Weird that they didn't. Did she show that to the mom? She just showed that the bear wasn't there. She wasn't like, also, she did this weird voice.
She just mentioned the ventriloquism and showed her the video, but only showed her the video after she was just like, I gotta burn that bear. What bear? After that, then she's like, you should see this. Yeah. Not, hey, you should see this creepy shit your stepdaughter was just doing.
Yeah, right?
But it is, I do love that choice that they had it be like this distorted, creepy version of the little girl's voice.
Mm-hmm.
It also does play into like being able to like have Chauncey actually saying stuff and making noises without it seem like obvious.
Without them, like, they're like, oh, yeah, that's just her voice, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, don't put two and two together like this is a monster yet.
When they were first doing it, I was, because they were hearing it through the vent, and she's like, she's doing Chauncey's voice.
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet? I remember hearing that being like, that is the little girl. Because I genuinely didn't know if, like, the little girl, like, Chauncey's talking through the little girl.
Oh.
Or if just straight up Chauncey's the one talking.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was, like, a very, like, oh, shit.
I was waiting for the voice to get, like, creepier. I thought it was going to evolve into, like, a voice, you know?
I don't know. Kid voices are plenty creepy.
That's true.
And for a teddy bear, too, which I really loved. I wish it was just the teddy bear the entire time.
Yeah, I mean, it was a PG-13 horror movie.
That is probably our biggest critique of it.
Well, that, I mean, they they did as much as they could, I think, with it being a PG-13. I think they made the right choice of it being a teddy bear.
Yes.
Because it's PG. And all the scares were that level, you know, like the creepy kid voice, PG-13.
Yeah.
You know, like, no blood or anything, just no a lot blood, of tension.
Only one kill, and that's not until the end.
Yeah, and it was somebody that deserved it.
Yeah.
And I that guess. Was very predictable too. What did you think of that? The old babysitter of Jessica's.
Yeah. First off, I do want to say I think we need to start because you've heard the expression "magical Negro" for movies.
No.
Okay, so "magical Negro" is a movie
coming out about.
I'm kind of iffy about that too, but because it just turns into a stupid rom com from the trailers.
Oh, okay.
But like the character of a magical Negro is a black person who comes into the life of a white person and like helps them through life in some way.
Okay.
So you look at like Bagger Vance or like
So they change the token black person into like a magical or their different version.
Yeah, it's a quote unquote magical black person that kind of comes out of nowhere and alters a white person's life.
Oh.
So that's what the character. But I think there should be one for horror films, which is the crazy cracker. Most of the time, a lot of times, especially in movies like this, you have like a crazed, like usually a white woman, sometimes a white guy, but that are like, we know about these entities. They've existed for thousands of years. I've done research. Everyone thought I was a kook, but now I know. So I do.
And you believe them at first and you're like, wait a second. They wasted all their life on this.
This person's crazy.
Red alert. Like, yeah. I mean, thank you for giving me all this information, but don't follow me.
Yeah. But I do. I did think it was really, whether it was deserved or not, like, as soon as she starts the reveal of like, I've been talking to Chauncey and he wants us to be here. This is a magical world where we can do anything and be anywhere. And blah, 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 blah. The entire time I'm like, oh yeah, she's going to get got right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on a level of Samuel L. Jackson in Deep Blue Sea, where he's giving like this rousing speech. We're going to get up there. We're going to get out of here and we're going to survive this. First off, we got to plug up. Then the shark comes out and just eats him. So this had the same, like the same
Kelly
amount of
Rollins
like
Rollins in Freddy versus Jason when she's like, I'm not scared of you, Freddy, blah blah and blah,
and
then
he's like, look behind you.
Yeah, <That's>
so good. She gets back.
I love that. That's a great thing in horror movies.
Yeah, but I do the idea that she's getting mauled to death by the big monster version of Chauncey.
Yeah,
behind a door was. I thought it was pretty funny. Yeah. Pretty fun and funny death.
I liked like the setup and everything, like the Never Ever. It looked kind of spooky and also like
I love the name.
Yeah, yeah. It worked. I want to see a different storyline though of like there's got to be cops like that crazy old lady, but in a different way, like there's a bunch of kids going missing.
Yeah.
What's that? And they keep mentioning Never Ever and have these weird doodles of bears. Like come on, show me that crime horror.
Yeah, I do. I mean, like we said, it's a good movie. I think it could have been great if it was rated R, if they took more of those bigger risks. And I get it from like a marketing or from like you're trying to make money. You want to get as many people to see it. But let's be honest, 13-year-olds are going to go try to see a rated R movie no matter what. Yeah. If anything, they're going to try even harder to go see that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it behooves studios to just go for it. Just make an R-rated movie. Put it, you know, not necessarily have to overdo it with gore or cursing or sex or nudity or anything like that. Like, do R with a purpose.
Right.
To make it, like, leave an impact.
Scare us.
Scare the shit. Because this one, it built tension really well.
Mm-hmm.
That scene where it's that neighbor kid, like, just using the restroom and him thinking he's tripping because he thinks he took Molly.
Yeah.
But
and it was just allergy pills. That was pretty funny.
But that whole scene where it's just the pool cord.
Yeah.
And him just following in and all this and that and it moving. Great. It was great. Wanted him to die, though.
Yeah, why not kill him? He was a douchebag.
He was being a douche. You got the go-ahead from the little girl to eat him.
Yeah.
Eat him.
Yeah. I think also it's just because all these things, like, they wanted to make money, number one. They don't have anybody in this movie, so they can't sell it as hard if like an R-rated.
True.
It's not a part of a franchise like a Saw. Where there's no,
but it is Blumhouse, which I mean,
Blumhouse, it's like a Netflix. You know, there's a lot of trash on there.
They got a lot of hit. They got a lot of hit and misses.
Yeah,
it's for every hit they get, they got maybe like two misses.
Yeah,
it's true. I think this one was, you know, in the park.
Let me ask you a question.
Go for it.
Would you like this movie if you had to pay money for it?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because I feel like I would have been kind of mad if I watched it. But I was like, not bad. Yeah, but walking in, I knew it was a PG-13. Yeah. I was ready for my expectations to be lowered. But if I spent $23 or whatever,
if I spent 20 some dollars on a movie, which I will never do ever again. Mm-hmm. But if I ever spent like $20 on this, I would have been not mad, but I would have been like, I could have waited. Yeah.
The thing that really made the movie, though, was not the movie.
No, for us, though, it was the experience within the theater.
Yeah, there was one woman with a blanket, rocking a blanket and winter hat. She knows how to go to the movies.
Yes, and I'm convinced it was a black woman. You said it was a white woman.
I think it, because she was right in front of us, and I tried to see her face. I don't know. I think I just pictured me in 20 years. That's why.
But for anybody wondering, the entire time, like I said, the tension's building really well. And of course, there's one person in the audience just going, oh, hell no. And everybody in the theater, like a part of me would get mad. But in a horror movie, I'm like, okay. And then also everyone's just cracking up because this lady's hilarious.
Yeah.
And she's reacting at the right spots. It's not like inappropriate, like her being like, and like when the husband's saying ridiculous shit.
Yeah, it wasn't over too much. There was one part where it was like popping off in the movie, and I was like, "Where's our girl? Is she awake right now?" Because she was quiet for a second. She was
probably covering under the blankets. Yeah, she was popping off. Yeah,
doing that. But yeah, it was funny. It heightened the experience.
The fun of it all.
Yeah.
Kelly farted during the movie. She was outdone by a gentleman behind us, to which I thought, was that me? And then I hear people behind me cracking up. I'm like, no, it's back there.
I want to be, my farts are loud, but they don't smell. Okay. So that's why I just let them rip.
Yeah.
Because they're fun.
Just let him loose.
Yeah, you gotta.
Let him go.
Better out than in is what I always say. Doesn't Shrek say that?
He said that once, at least. Mm-hmm. when we finally do reveal Chauncey as the monster that he is, we get two versions. We get a giant teddy bear monster, and we also get like a spider monster, which is correlating with Jessica's job as a children's,
illustrator?
I think she's an author and illustrator. Yeah, I think it's just both. It's all her. Mm-hmm. But she's a creator of a book series, and which is clearly like
Molly the Millipede and Sam the Spider or something like that.
Something like that.
The spider's kind of the bad guy, but then at the end they become buds because she. Well, I don't know if that's true because that was in the Never Ever. Remember?
Yeah. That was the funniest thing. I think I had sort of brought this up. But I was watching the new Rick and Morty episodes. There's an episode where they go into what's called a fear hole.
Yeah.
and most of the episode is them getting out of it and then realizing we're still in the hole. And they do it like maybe almost 10 times.
That's funny.
So when that was happening, she's like, I'm still in the never ever. I'm like, are they going to do this like 5 times? Which I would be there. I'd be there. That'd be worth $20 for me. I'd be like, this is what a left turn, but so great.
I'd be so mad. It's like the end of Lord of the Rings. I remember there's like 3 blackouts, and I remember watching it in theaters, and people would like, it's now the Grey Havens.
They're back at the Shire.
Oh, Sam's part? Okay. Over? Cool. Okay.
Aragorn's got to sing? Sure. Good job. Oh, yeah, that's a way to... Nope. Oh, God. Fucking end! Fucking end!
It was so funny. But then you don't want it to end.
No. Lord of the Rings? No. Yeah. Never end. Please. Ugh. The writer... writer Rohirrim? I will always feel something. Mm-hmm.
I also think that this was PG-13 because of the story of it. Like, it's about imaginary friends, mm-hmm. so maybe they were trying to scare younger people, too. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the director has experience with horror, with certain horror movies. Jeff Wadlow, who also directed Truth or Dare.
I enjoyed that. I remember Truth or Dare. That was pretty good.
Kick-Ass 2, which...
Jim Carrey.
Pretty good, yeah. The Fantasy Island movie, which I heard isn't great.
Missed it.
This is the one that I was really like, oh, he directed Cry Wolf in 2005. And I remember seeing this. Like, I think we had a Blockbuster night one night with my family, and we rented this movie. It's a very weird movie, but it's not terrible.
So like this?
Yeah.
Okay.
He makes not great movies.
Okay.
I want to say.
Who's the writer? Is it the same
The
guy?
Writer for Imaginary?
Yeah, yeah.
The writer is, I will tell you right now, because I have the power of
three
the
stars.
Internet.
That makes sense. 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. That's pretty, yeah.
Valid. Pretty valid.
Let's see here. The writer for the movie, we're looking at three writers. Jeff Wadlow, Jason Ormland. Sure. And Greg Erb.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Don't really.
It is inspiring to see how horrors are just keeping on.
Greg Erb wrote Princess and the Frog.
Well, that's a good one.
Let me see. Jason, what'd you do? What'd you do, Jason? Oh, you also wrote Princess and the Frog.
Oh, so they're a writing.
Writing team. That's cool. But yeah, I thought, you know, I thought for what it was, the writing was okay.
Yeah, the marketing was way better than what the movie was.
Yes.
Like, everything in the trailer was way, like, this trailer's far scarier than the movie.
But again, there are certain moments where she's, with the little girl's about to try to impale her hand. Just the tension of her about to do it was great.
Another funny thing, though, was the, so Jessica's father is in a mental institution.
Yes.
Because he saved her life. But the thing he did was he looked into the eyes of Chauncey and saw all the billions of imaginations of all the billions of kids.
And he could not handle it.
That was their reasoning for him to go insane.
Insane and blind.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's, it is weird. Because then towards the end, before they defeat Chauncey, Jessica and Taylor are trying to like...
Yeah, and they
get rid of him,
eyes.
And they look into his eyes. And, you know, in movie time, you're looking at like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, granted, the dad probably looked at it longer in
but
the flashback.
They killed Chauncey right after. So I think that's why that they're okay.
But I feel in that instance, you know, the dad should also be fine, too.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't kill Chauncey.
Didn't call Chauncey?
Because at the end, they go to that hotel, and the little boy still has an imaginary friend as well.
That's another guy. He had a different name.
Different imaginary friend.
It wasn't
friend.
Chauncey. It was somebody else.
That's true.
There's just a bunch of them. It's like Monsters, Inc., but like
scary.
Not cute.
Actually scary.
Yeah.
And it's
because
so,
they're all doors, too. Just
yeah.
like Monsters, Inc.
A lot of doors.
Wait a second. Is this how they came up?
A lot of doors. And then what's so weird, because I was just mentioning that we were doing this episode today, and someone was like, oh, that John Krasinski movie? I'm like, no.
I mean, honestly, same. For until like last month, I thought it was the same movie.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, John Krasinski also has a movie coming out called If, where it is literally, I don't know if you ever watched it, but it is literally Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, the movie, but they're just not calling it that, which is annoying. If. Yeah. I'd rather they make a live action Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. Because that was a fucking great show.
Never seen it, but I trust you.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so, so, so good. I love it. Ugh. It should be.
I wish he made this movie because he's good at making horror. I mean, A Quiet Place. Pretty good.
Quiet Place is great.
Second one, pretty good too.
Probably would have been a better direction for the acting too.
Yeah.
Because again, like I could not, at least at the beginning, I could not stand the little girl.
Yeah.
She was too, it was like they looked at her and they said, hey, can you play a little girl? Yeah, I can play a little girl. I have that in my arsenal.
Yeah. I like the teen girl. She was good.
She was good. The dad, unnecessary.
Really. I mean, well, they had to be like, listen, this is a loving family. We can't, because there's so many horrors of like a single mom and, or like a broken family. They're like, listen, this, I mean, it's a new family. She's a stepmom or whatever, but at least it's like love. I think that's what they wanted to show. Like,
there's love there.
Other. Yeah,
she's not a neglectful step parent. She's trying to connect.
Yeah, the dad's a lover, but he's also a rock and roll dude. Yeah, that's why he's British.
We don't even know if he's rock and roll. He's rocking a fedora.
Yeah, I think his band was called Burning Cats. That's why she was wearing the shirt in the beginning, and then
Burning Cats. Yeah,
and then the little girl had a button that said Burning Cats. So one of the first, like, I guess when they're in bed or something, Jessica, she's wearing the T-shirt that said Burning Cats on it.
Oh,
like, is this the band?
Yeah, I hope so. You're just wearing a shirt that just says Burning Cats.
Should have been Burning Bears. I mean, that's more like pretty.
Blumhouse, call us. Yeah. We're here.
Yeah. I got scripts.
We got scripts. Oh, Kelly mostly has scripts. I'll have scripts.
That's what they say.
Turn it. Yeah. Robert De Niro. Yeah.
You talking to me?
I had a thought and it left me. Oh no.
I like the color. It's very similar to the imaginary colors of your shirt.
Yeah. I love cinematography is great in this too.
Mm-hmm.
When they actually get into the Never Ever, and then it has a very Beetlejuice but very artsy, like MC Escher painting kind of vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really liked. Oh, I remember. Because we're talking about the mom and everything.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird that they kind of like footnoted their actual mom, who has, I guess, a mental illness of some kind.
She got burned. Like, I don't understand what happened there, because the daughter also had burns.
Yeah.
And she was scared of fire. So did the mother burn the house down or something and leave the kid in it?
That's like the one thing they never bring up.
Yeah. And then they mentioned, oh yeah, Jessica's mom had cancer and died when she was a kid. So that's why she forgot her imaginary friend.
Yeah. Or that's why she got one.
To help cope with the... Oh, I thought that's why she blacked it out after.
And then when her dad saved her, she got removed from her dad because they thought, like, oh, he's being abusive, or he's going crazy or something.
She got the scratch.
Yeah, but that was just for her how to get into the Never Ever.
Right, to hurt herself.
I fucking love that name, the Never Ever.
Yeah.
Like, there's some name where you're like, it's the darkness, it's the nothing, it's this. The Never Ever is, like, one of those good, like, oh, if you have to come up with an abstract name for something like an imaginary world, Never Ever, I think, is pretty good.
It reminds me of the One Hit Wonder by, I forget what the band, but it's, like, an all-lady band, and the song was called Never Ever.
Oh.
Never, ever, ever, ever felt so low, and I want to take me out of this black hole. Never, you know? No?
No.
Don't know it?
It's like ringing a little bell, but like,
it just don't feel right. Never, ever, I had you fine. No?
No, but I enjoyed it.
I mean, that's all the songs.
But yeah, if I, other than like acting choices, my biggest, like, what the fuck is just the shoehorned in mom thing. Because then she does appear, and which is like the biggest, for me, was like one of the biggest scares.
Yeah.
That's just like, he's behind you. And then like suddenly the mom comes rushing out. I thought like, oh shit, like that's Chauncey.
Yeah.
Nope. It's just the mom with mental illness.
And she knew, it was weird because she knew that it was like when she escaped or whatever, she's like, this place is bad. It's not good for my babies. How did she know that? I want to see the cuts to her in the asylum or whatever.
Yeah.
If
you're
going to
throw in this scene where the mom just knows there's evil in this house, like, give us a little more with the mom a bit.
Did she also have another kid that she, like, the same thing with the dad, like, protected him and then she went crazy too or something?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like,
or she Jessica's dad's neighbor?
Yeah.
in whatever assisted living home they are in?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, again, overall, I thought this was a good, not great, but good movie.
I'll never see it again.
I'll probably give it another watch, maybe at least once. But it's not something I'm gonna keep on watching.
Yeah.
But I would definitely, in terms of like the bin, I definitely put it. I wouldn't put it at the very top, but I would definitely put it at the top middle. Kind of like worth a watch. Mm-hmm. But you kind of have to maybe look around for it a bit.
I would say dig a little. Like, there's other stuff out there.
Okay.
Get the top. I mean, it was okay. But, like, I mean, it's an interesting story. I think it's good for, like, I would show this to somebody, like, if I am babysitting and the kid is into horror, I'd be like, here, this, like, let's test the waters. Let's see how scared you are with this.
Like an easy little softball of a movie.
This is good for PG-13, like, kids, I think. It's a good introduction, and it's not my jam. Like, I mean, I think I enjoyed the movie because of that lady who was like, uh-oh.
She elevated our experience.
Yeah. If it was just us in Burbank at night, I'd be like, we should have stayed at the Improv. But yeah, I think, I mean, it was good choices, very unique. It wasn't boring, but like, I'm not going to say, I guess I'm also Simon Cowling it a little bit.
That's fine.
But there's way, like, we're in the age of horror right now, kind of, I think. Like, Thanksgiving was, pretty good. Like, there's so many Barbarian. There's so many good ones where you don't need to watch this one. That's what I'm saying.
And again, I think it would have been elevated and probably better if they just went for an R rating.
Right.
Actually had more kills.
I think they're just...
Even, like, one or two more.
Yeah, I think this is a test to see if they could do... Because how many... Do they do that many PG-13 movies? That's what I'm wondering with Blumhouse.
Blumhouse does a fair amount of PG-13. Right. Five Nights at Freddy's, which was PG-13 for some stupid reason.
But that said, The Hutch.
Should have been rated R.
Yeah, and that was based on a franchise, though. So that's why.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's things that... This is like a... Nothing.
The Exorcist Believer, which...
That was PG-13?
I'm just listing off their movies. They got a good chunk of a lot of horror movies, though.
I mean, yeah.
And stuff that I'm like, what is this?
Add it to the list.
I know. I'm just gonna go on their website and just do a whole Blumhouse episode.
Yeah, but was fun. Like, I think watch it if you got AMC A-list. If you could watch it for free, and if you love horrors so much that you want to watch them all, go for it. But if you got other things to do.
And of the two movies about imaginary friends, I'd say go see this instead of If.
I mean, I haven't seen If yet.
I already have a bad feeling about it.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I don't think... Yeah, that's more for kids. And
I don't think Ryan Reynolds can save this one.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Yeah, I'd rather see this one for sure.
But you're saying maybe like a more middle bottom of the bin?
Yeah.
That's fair.
If you're like... Let's try something different.
Yeah. If you're on a Blumhouse bender, this is definitely one of their... I'd say this is definitely up there in their top 50%.
Yeah. Like, is this better than Night Swim?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, Night Swim was funny, though.
It was funny, but I mean, like, in terms of, like, overall so scary silly. And actually, like, feeling like, oh, this is a... Even, like, just a decent horror movie.
Yeah.
Imaginary thing beats it out.
Yeah,
because Night Swim, Haunted Pool, it could have been better, player. I think, but that's for another episode.
No, yeah, I'm with you. I'm way more for this these people versus like a Nepo guy in a movie.
Yeah, that from beginning to end was a lot of bad acting choices. Mm-hmm. This one, I'd say only like the first half had bad acting choices, and then the rest, when it actually got into a bit more of the horror, a bit more of the tension, the acting improved.
I still think there were some... But I think it's also the lines that they were given.
Yeah. I'm not saying that they're great in the second half. I'm just saying that their acting improved.
Right, yeah.
Still rocky. Still rocky. Take two. But
no, that's a new word.
Rocky. This is rocky. Hey, you're pretty rocky over there.
That's the husband. That's how he says rocky.
That was also a weird thing we were trying to figure out. Like, he has the accent. His kids don't have it. And his mom, the mom didn't. But I mean,
I think it's because he's a rock and roll. They're like, well, how do we make this work? British rock and roll star. I don't know.
It just seems so weird. It's like, it'll be a black stepmom, a British dad, and two American daughters.
Yeah.
Modern family.
Yeah.
But this is, like we said, this is kind of a middle of the bin kind of movie. Definitely give it a watch if you're looking for something maybe a little different, a little something easy.
See it? I mean, yeah. Is it better than Dune 2?
100%.
Yes. So I would say out of... What else in theaters is there? Dune.
If you're looking for a horror movie to watch during this time before...
Anything else?
Before we get into like the actual real horror seasons of movies, this is... this is one to watch. But like you said, if you can watch it for free, that's probably the best option. Don't spend $20 to watch it. If you're going to spend $20, spend it on a streaming service when it comes out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure this will be on Peacock in like a week. Oh, that's how Freddy's was.
Yeah. But and Kelly, as always, thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You got your camera right here. Let the people know where they can find you, what you got going on.
Sure. I'm Kelly McInerney. You can find me on Instagram at Kelly McInerney, a comedy bingo show we have once a month in LA. Yeah, that's it. Just find me on the internet.
Hell yeah. You guys can find me on all the things Julian F. Comedy. You can follow this podcast at Horror Bin Pod on Instagram as well as TikTok. We will get content up there very soon, I promise. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe on iTunes and YouTube. Share it around. Let's build this horror community up. Let's get some more imaginary friends in here that we can share the podcast with, whether they're there or not. And as we say in every episode, shit, I didn't have one for this.
Never ever went a time into
na 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 na. Bye.